Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
The mayor said, and I quote almost verbatim, which is, if you happen to be in this country in an undocumented status, and that means you're here illegally, then we welcome you here. We want you here. We'll protect you here. That's the wrong attitude.
In his case, there were six sanctuary cities. He did nothing about them. There was even a sanctuary mansion. At his own home, illegal immigrants were being employed.
It was the sanctuary city mayor versus the sanctuary mansion governor to hear them each tell it in last night's Republican debate. And it was the Republicans' turn for a YouTube debate last night on CNN with questions from Americans posting videos like this one about the death penalty.
Hi, this is Tyler Overman from Memphis, Tennessee, and I have a quick question for those of you who would call yourselves Christian conservatives. The death penalty. What would Jesus do?
What would Jesus do about the death penalty? Well, that question drew one of the memorable answers last night from Arkansas governor and Baptist preacher Mike Huckabee.
Let me tell you, it was the toughest decision I ever made as a human being. I read every page of every document of every case that ever came before me because it was the one decision that came to my desk that once I made it, it was irrevocable. I believe there is a place for a death penalty. Some crimes are so heinous, so horrible, that the only response that we as a civilized nation have for a most uncivil action is not only to try to deter that person from ever committing that crime again, but also as a warning to others that some crimes truly are beyond any other capacity for us to fix. Now, having said that, there are those who say, how can you be pro-life and believe in a death penalty? Because there's a real difference between the process of adjudication where a person is deemed guilty after a thorough judicial process and is put to death by all of us as citizens under a law, as opposed to an individual making a decision to terminate a life that has never been deemed guilty because the life never was given a chance to even exist. That's the fundamental difference.
Mike Huckabee, who was elevated to a top-tier candidate by CNN last night, by the way. I didn't count the minutes, but maybe one of our guests will know. He was given lots of airtime, and he's being extremely well-reviewed by pundits this morning, for example, for making that answer as thoughtful as it sounded to many, even if you disagree with his position. The Republican electorate, of course, will decide for themselves. But let's talk about this YouTube debate with WNYC political director Andrea Bernstein and Micha Sifri, who runs the website Tech President, which follows how the presidential campaign plays online. Hi, Andrea, Micha.
Good morning.
Good to be here.
And by the way, in a few minutes, we'll talk to one of the YouTube questioners, Michael Weiss of New Jersey, who got a video on last night. Andrea Huckabee seems to be the buzz of the punditry this morning.
Oh, yes. Well, he's just he's definitely the flavor of the month. I mean, it's certainly true that, he's surging in Iowa. He's tied for first. You know, what that all means, it's unclear. I don't remember that we have President Pat Robertson, although he won Iowa handily. Mike Huckabee is a candidate that's made for Iowa. It's a campaign where retail politics is very important, so the role of money tends to get filtered out. He has sort of, he would argue, consistently conservative views as opposed to what he would call the inconsistently conservative views of Mitt Romney or Rudy Giuliani.
Well, he's got him on the social issues, especially abortion, but he doesn't seem to have the consistently conservative views on taxes, on government spending, on immigration. All of that stuff will come out. But the tone, you mentioned Pat Robertson, who, did he win Iowa back then, 1988?
He won Iowa,
But, the tone of Mike Huckabee, and I don't know if this matters to Republican caucus goers in Iowa or primary voters anywhere else, if they, if they like Giuliani's tough talk and George W. Bush, but the tone of Huckabee that seems to be appealing to people in the media, whether it's representative of the larger population or not, is that thoughtfulness that we heard in that answer, the warmth, the down-to-earth, the obvious compassion for both sides in his answer, even while taking a very strong position.
Well, what I'd really like to know is what voters in Iowa thought of Mike Huckabee, and I'm going to be going to Iowa in a couple weeks, and I'll be finding out the answer to that question. I think it's, sort of very hard to know, and there's a lot of sort of pundits talking to themselves on these things. I mean, Tancredo got a lot of airtime last night, as did Hunter. It's like he suddenly, he seemed to suddenly get as many questions. I mean, I guess one could say that it was perhaps the most evenly distributed debate. Not a whole lot of new ground was broken with Giuliani and Romney. I mean, I think their debate was more bitter, but these are the kinds of accusations they've traded in previous debates and on the trail.
Hunter, who said, America will never apologize for anything. I'm glad I'm not his wife.
That's nothing to apologize for, right.
So, Mika Sifri, are you following various websites and looking at how last night's debate plays online this morning?
Sure. But, I think that it's true that Huckabee probably gained the most, though at Tech President, we've been watching Huckabee surge now for several weeks. He's been among the Republicans. His website has been only second to Ron Paul in terms of weekly traffic coming in. That's been the fact for more than a month. Among bloggers, just mentioning his name, he's also surging. And I agree with Andrea that in Iowa, a lot of this is just the nature of the state.
And Ron Paul, by the way, said in the debate last night that he had so much money he actually didn't know how to spend it.
Yes, that was interesting. I think if you were Ron Paul,
the only American with that problem, well, maybe A-Rod and Mike Bloomberg, I don't know.
If you were a Ron Paul supporter watching that debate last night, and we actually had some of them on our site, we had sort of a live chat going on with our readers as the debate progressed, and the Paulites were very upset. They didn't think Ron Paul got a fair amount of time. They, Paul had two questions picked that were directly addressed to him, and one was basically, are you a conspiracy nut? Mm-hmm. And the other one was, are you going to run as an independent? CNN, I think the issue that's really roiling the blogosphere, especially among Republicans right now, is what the heck was that? Was CNN, were they really fair sponsors of this debate? I think a lot of people who I'm reading today are upset that the questions that were picked by CNN, by the way, in a closed process, not an open democratic process that the internet would allow.
5,000 videos submitted, so
yeah.
There are things that can be done on the internet where the viewers, the users then view the videos and vote questions to the top.
As we've been doing on our own site, 10questions.com.
Right.
But what they did is they picked questions that kind of caricatured what Republicans care about.
So let me play one of those questions right now that I think they most objected to, and I heard Anderson Cooper after the debate kind of shocked to learn that this questioner may actually have some relationship to the Hillary Clinton campaign, and this is a gay brigadier general asking about gays and lesbians in the military.
My name is Keith Kerr of Santa Rosa, California. I'm a retired brigadier general with 43 years of service. And I'm a graduate of the Special Forces Officer Course, the Command and General Staff Course, and the Army War College. And I'm an openly gay man. I want to know why you think that American men and women in uniform are not professional enough to serve with gays and lesbians.
So that was an interesting framing of the question, Andrea. Are they not professional enough to serve with gays and lesbians?
And, basically everybody gave the answer that they were going to give. I mean, the interesting thing, which is, Mitt Romney was confronted with, you once said you couldn't wait for the day. Are you still waiting for that day?
Right, we're going to play that clip. In fact, we might as well do it now. I thought this was actually one of the weakest moments of the night for any candidate. Romney being asked directly by Anderson Cooper about something that he has said on this issue in the past.
Governor Romney, you said in 1994 that you looked forward to the day when gays and lesbians could serve, and I quote, openly and honestly in our nation's military. Do you stand by that?
This isn't that time. This is not that time. We're in the middle of a war. The people who have watched.
Do you look forward to that time, though, one day?
I can listen to the people who run the military to see what the circumstances are like. And my view is that at this stage, this is not the time for us to make that kind of a change.
Is that a change in your position from
the... Yeah, I didn't think it would work. I didn't think don't ask, don't tell would work. I didn't think that would work. I thought that was a policy. When I heard about it, I laughed. I said, that didn't make any sense to me. And you know what? It's been there now for, 15 years? It seems to have worked.
So just so I'm clear, at this point, do you still look forward to a day when gays can serve openly in the military or no longer?
I look forward to hearing from the military exactly what they believe is the right way to have the right kind of cohesion and support in our troops, and I'll listen to what they have to say.
All right.
He couldn't make up his mind. He couldn't seem to make up his mind at another point in the debate when he was asked about whether he believed that he believed literally in every word that was in the Bible. He sort of said, well, blah, 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 it's the word of God. You know, and he sort of eventually came around to saying, yes, I do, whereas other candidates, Huckabee included, who is himself a minister, said, you know, there's an allegorical element to the biblical text. So, I mean, I think, you know, Romney seemed to be struggling with some things that you would have thought he would have sort of put to bed by now, or at least had, right. you know, answers
right.
for.
Well, it was reminiscent to me of the thing that got Hillary Clinton in so much trouble in the previous Democratic debate about the driver's licenses, where she didn't really want to just unambiguously say that she was for it, but she wanted to kind of sympathize with the direction.
Yes.
So he did not want to walk away unambiguously by just saying, I no longer believe my previous position that I look forward to a day when gays and lesbians can serve openly in the military.
Although he did say
nor
that
did he
abortion.
Want to embrace it.
Right. He said with abortion, though. He said, I was wrong.
Right.
And then he had a whole sort of exchange with McCain about waterboarding and, you know, was waterboarding torture? And, I mean, that seemed to me the most sort of Clinton-esque, because in that exchange, he said, well, I'm not going to say now because, you know, that would make it difficult for me to be president. I mean, it was a very parallel answer to the one that Clinton gave on Social Security a couple of debates ago.
Let's hear it. Romney is asked whether waterboarding is torture.
I oppose torture. I would not be in favor of torture in any way, shape, or form.
Is waterboarding torture?
As I just said, as a presidential candidate, I don't think it's wise for us to describe specifically which measures we would and would not use.
And John McCain had a very different response.
Well, Governor, I'm astonished that you haven't found out what waterboarding is.
I know what waterboarding is, Senator.
Then I am astonished that you would think such a torture would be inflicted on anyone in our who we are held captive, and anyone could believe that that's not torture. It's in violation of the Geneva Conventions.
Micha Sifri, is this playing on the blogosphere? It was a very strong moment for McCain, no matter what people believe on the issue. It was certainly, you know, John McCain coming on strong and taking a strong moral position on something.
You know, Brian, I actually can't tell you what's playing on the blogosphere, because that's like saying, do we know what a million people are saying around their water coolers right now?
This is your job, is to monitor how the campaign
We'd like to know. Let me push back on the frame for a
second.
Sure,
go ahead.
That the idea that we have to somehow distill all our opinions into these little 8-second sound barks, which is what these so-called debates have become, is exactly what the blogosphere is against.
Right.
It's the chance for all of us to actually have a much broader, more meaningful conversation. And so there's a lot going on here right now. I mean, I think, yes, you can probably generalize and say that the two candidates who did the best last night seem to be Huckabee and McCain, because both of them most spoke from the heart. They had the best moments. But why do we have to put up with moments? I mean, this is the thing that is
right.
To
but
me,
you know, my question wasn't about moments, because
yeah.
being a big fan of the blogosphere and how democracy plays out online, it's that very complexity. And so I was asking you, as much as anything, whether interesting conversations have broken out or whatever. But you know what? Let me bring in one of the actual questioners from last night's debate from our area. He is Michael Weitz. From New Jersey, and he had the question asking the candidates if they would veto any bill that offered amnesty to illegal immigrants. And as I say, he's from New Jersey. Hi, Michael. Welcome to WNYC.
Hi. Good morning. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you. Where in New Jersey are you from?
I'm from Franklin, New Jersey.
So tell us, first of all, what was the process like for you? Did you just place a video on the CNN site hoping that you would be picked, and it was just kind of out of the 5,000 people, somebody called you up?
Well, you know, I've asked 7 different questions. I asked the amnesty issue 3 different ways, because it's a very important issue to Republican conservative voters.
You posted 7 different videos?
Excuse me?
You posted 7 different videos?
7 different questions. 3 of them were on the amnesty issue.
Okay.
And, because the questions I posted were very important to conservative Republican voters. And I placed the video on, and I received an email, which I almost deleted as spam. And because I didn't realize it was actually something serious. But I did call the number, and lo and behold, the next thing I know, I'm being flown down to the debate, and it was just some kind of, they took us through the whole day of where the questions out to the bus to where they picked the questions of what's going to be on. And I had no idea my question, you know, where it was going to be or anything. And there was a possibility my question was not going to be asked because they asked so many questions, but they might not get to mine.
So what did
not a guarantee.
So it did run. And what did you think of the answers that you got?
I was very, you know, last night at the debate, I didn't want to be a part of the debate, you know, where I gave my opinion on the candidates. I gave the truth of what I felt. I liked Fred Thompson's answer.
Which was what again?
Excuse me, sir.
Which was what again, Fred Thompson's answer?
Fred Thompson was that he was against giving amnesty, any kind of amnesty, to the illegal aliens that are in our country. And he talked about enforcing the borders. And I believe he mentioned about fining those companies that take and hire illegals.
Can I ask if you're personally deciding between any particular candidates right now?
Okay. Yes, I am. I'm a Fred Thompson supporter. However, on my YouTube channel, as you'll see, I won't take and attack any candidate. I like all the candidates, and I'll support any candidate that is elected to run against Hillary.
When you say on your YouTube channel, if people just go to YouTube and search your name, Michael Weitz, W-E-I-T-Z, they'll find
your...
Okay.
No, sir. It'd be Conservative Voice USA, all one word, and you put that in search, and a bunch of my videos, plus other videos that have been made about me, will appear, but you'll get to my channel.
By you and about you.
And about me, yes.
And so
I have some videos made about me, in my opinions, yes.
Are they flattering?
Some are and some aren't.
Do you think democracy was served by this YouTube debate?
I think this type of debate is really fantastic. This way the candidates are receiving questions from the American people. And although CNN picks the questions, which I think they did a very fair job, you have to have someone to take and pick the questions that are going to be used out of 5,000. And they pretty much hit all the topics except for health care. And, you know, they just picked the best question that happened to be asked on a particular subject, you know, whether this person spoke more clearly or how they presented themselves.
Michael Weitz, who did you want to ask him something, Andrea, real quick?
Well, I just wanted to say, Michael, have you ever been to a town meeting, a Republican town meeting with any candidates?
I've gone to a lot of, regular meetings, but no, not with any of the presidential candidates. No, I've been studying politics for 32 years.
I mean, the debate felt to me very much like a number of Republican town meetings I've been to in this campaign and previous campaigns. I mean, the questions seemed similar, the sort of range and kind of quirkiness of some of the questions, things being a little unexpected.
In a good way, in an authentic way.
Well, I mean, it felt like that. I mean, you know, one could argue, I suppose, that there was more of an opportunity to have a kind of broader, this was like the kind of questions you would get among Republican primary voters.
Yeah.
And it felt like that.
That's a good thing.
So,
Michael Weitz, I'm going to let you go. Michael Weitz from Franklin, New Jersey. You want to tell people your YouTube address again?
Once again, you know, I don't know the whole address. If you go to YouTube and punch and type in search one word, Conservative Voice USA, and my videos will pop up there, or some that are for or against me, but pop on one of my videos that has my name attached to it, words for the homepage, and you'll get to my channel.
All right. Glad you got a voice last night. Thanks for coming on with us.
Thank you very much for having me.
And Mika Sifri from TechPresident.com, do you think this YouTube debate was good for democracy?
You know, I'm actually going to say no. I think CNN needs to really do a better job with the internet than they're doing. I think what they do here by picking out videos in an obscure way and in many ways presenting a caricature of what Americans look like and talk like and care about. I mean, they filtered out a whole bunch of questions on subjects like healthcare, the environment, the fall of the dollar, jobs. I don't think there was a single question on that. And they gave us extra attention to things like immigration, gays, guns, the Bible. Lots of Republican activists I know who I'm reading online today are upset that CNN caricatured them, and they're calling that liberal bias, which I think is kind of silly. What it really was CNN did something else. CNN portrayed the internet as a place where kooky, fluffy stuff happens, but you have to come to CNN to get the real expertise.
Picking the I see. So that's their nature of professional amateur journalism.
Yeah, it's not a serious collaboration with the public.
Let me play a couple of videos for people who didn't watch. Here's one who I think has come to be known as the corn-eating guy.
Nothing says delicious like cheap corn subsidized by the American taxpayer. I'm curious which candidates who label themselves fiscally responsible will endorse the elimination of farm subsidies if they are elected president in 2008.
All right, and here's another one who's coming to be known as the big gun guy.
Now, I'm from a small town, and as in any small town, we like our big guns. So my question to you is, what is your opinion of gun control? And don't worry, you can answer however you like.
And I think you get the idea even just from the audio, Andrew.
I think that it's important to realize this was, of course, not the internet. This was television. I mean, if you were going to have an internet debate, you wouldn't have it on TV. You'd have it on the internet, and you'd have people submitting videos in real time, and you wouldn't have it pre-selected, planted, perhaps, if you want to call, by CNN and organized. I mean, they were there to produce a TV show. On the other hand, you know, it is to sort of have everybody submit videos casts a much broader net than having some pre-selected audience come and ask questions. I mean, there were some strange moments, like when Grover Norquist of the anti-tax activist, you know, why? I mean, all these people knew him on a first name basis, so
right.
You know why he got to
ask
a question.
He's not like a regular guy. And
so,
some Democrats like Howard Dean and Chris Dodd submitted videos, and they weren't picked. But you know, Mika, I'm not sure. And we're going to run out of time here in a minute, but I'm not sure I wouldn't rather hear the corn-eating guy and the big gun guy ask these questions than somebody a little more polished who looks like they could work for a think tank or something.
I'm not saying that if you involve the public in helping filter the questions and in also being able to say whether or not we answered the candidates answered the questions, which we can do now with technology, that we wouldn't get these kind of authentic sounding voices. I think it's great that those people got to ask questions, but this is less interactive than a live town hall meeting because very few people were even in the audience to ask a follow-up. So I think the subtext here, if the medium is the message, right, as Marshall McLuhan had said, the subtext here is that CNN is reinforcing this trope that when you go online, you get the kooky, fluffy stuff, but you have to come to the professional journalists at CNN for real political expertise.
All right.
And that notion, I think, is breaking down. And given that they have embraced YouTube and they want the internet fairy dust on, you know, to sprinkle on themselves, I think we can hold them to a higher standard and expect something better.
So Micha Sifri, editor of TechPresident.com, and WNYC political director Andrea Bernstein, thank you very much.
Thank you.
A pleasure.
And we will go next live to South Carolina, where we will see how the questions on the Confederate flag and why African Americans don't vote for Republicans played. Stay with us.